Let's talk film, because another big cultural powwow is wrapping up in Park City, Utah. That's the Sundance Film Festival. It's become a major showcase for new and established talent, both in front of and behind the camera. Pulitzer Prize winner and Grantland film critic Wesley Morris was there, and he's with us now to talk about some of the work that he saw. With us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Wesley, thanks so much for joining us once again. Welcome back.
Hi, Michelle. What's going on?
Well, you're going to tell me. So, one of the films that caught your attention was Dear White People. It's a racial satire about the experiences of four black students at a predominantly white Ivy League college. What did you like about it?
I think it's smart. I had low expectations for a movie based on a Twitter handle. I got to be honest with you.
Right, as well you should.
Yeah, the director is Justin Simien. He had this Twitter handle, among other things. And the idea was to sort of look at the ways in which people look at race and to make fun of it, or things people say, things people do, things people assume from a white perspective, and roast those things a lot via Twitter.
Well, you know, he was talking about, he's saying that this kind of came in part from his own college experience on a majority white. Let me just play a short clip from him. We can hear his voice. Here it is.
I just sort of thought that was an interesting sort of black experience, you know, going between, you know, your white world and your black world, and just being confused as to what parts of, you know, black culture I'm supposed to be today. You know, I just felt like that needed to be commented on. I think everyone can relate to being an other at some point.
I just love that. I just think that needed to be commented on. I'm going to use that every day. Right.
do it every day, Michelle.
Well, thank you.
Your job.
Does it pick up where School Days left off in some ways? I know, remember that kind of Spike Lee had a kind of a stab at this. Or there was another film earlier about the kind of the, you know what I mean? There have been kind of attempts before to comment on that kind of observation. And does this take us into a new place?
It does. And I think that it is very conscious of its legacy as being part of this, on this cinematic continuum of films about race set at colleges. And this one is set at an Ivy League school. John Singleton's Higher Learning, for instance, was set at a university school. Spike Lee's was set at an all-black college. This is set at a kind of Ivy League school. And the thing that's sort of interesting to me, and the thing I like so much about it, is that it is equally contemptuous of everybody, and everybody is guilty of something. All the black, white, well, it's mostly black and white, but at some point the Hispanics and Asians at least get lip service to being involved in the big race riot that happens toward the end. And I think...
Ooh, spoiler, there's a race
riot.
Oh,
no, trust me, there's so many things happening this week.
Okay. All right, well, so people will find it. You think other people will find it true. There's a kind of a ring of truth to it, even if it's
a
satire.
Absolutely, yes.
You think it'll be... So tell me about another film that you found interesting, Infinitely Polar Bear, and it stars Mark Ruffalo and Zoe Saldana. Tell us about it.
It's got a bad title. It's got a saleable title, I guess, once you know that it's about two daughters living with their mentally ill fathers, played by Mark Ruffalo. And the mother is Zoe Saldana. And the two girls are just wonderful. That's the thing I love about this movie. It's not a great piece of filmmaking, although I will say that the director, Maya Forbes, has a very good sense of what she wants to do. And what she wants to do is not, you know, change movie history or you know, burn down the cinema. She just wants to tell a story, I think, that's personal to her about her father's own mental illness and her growing up with him. And the girls in this movie are so good, and Maya Forbes is so good at directing all of the children in this movie, so that the movie is more or less from their perspective. And there's this emotional tug of war about wanting to be a girl and then having to be responsible for this man who can't really be responsible for himself, but is supposed to be responsible for you.
Hmm. You're right. That is a story a lot of people will understand and relate to.
And it's very moving. It's mostly a comedy, and that's the other thing that I'm impressed by. She takes it as seriously as she can without being overbearing. And it's mostly a very funny story with a perceptive audience that'll know that it's a serious matter at the same time. But the girls are great.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. So speaking of a serious matter, there's a documentary that stood out to you that you wanted to tell us about, We Come as Friends, and it's about a part of the world that we talk about quite often, which is South Sudan. Meanwhile, a man from France flies in looking for stories. Tell us why you like this one.
I just think it's a really interesting way to look at this problem. And a lot of it is very... This is a guy named Hubert Sopé. And he made a film a couple, maybe 10 years ago now, called Darwin's Nightmare, which is absolutely, if you haven't seen that, it's devastating, but it is also, there's a kind of artfulness about it. And he is continuing these films in Africa, which look at the problems of Africa's place in the larger global dynamic, in which nations come in and take advantage of in this particular case, the fighting in South Sudan. And they just pillage the resources while allowing genocide to occur, because it's easier to do that than have the Africans be able to manage themselves and then say, no, you can't take our land and our resources if you're not going to give anything back. But the approach Sopé takes is that he makes it very dreamlike, and he does a lot of sort of impressionistic stuff in terms of looking at how the Africans themselves feel about this dynamic. He gets some camera phone footage from one of the soldiers who just come home from a killing spree.
Wow.
It's a infuriating movie, mostly because you just can't believe that in 2013, 14, 12, that people still are so comfortable with cameras being around them that they will say the most incriminating things. There's a UN guy who doesn't come off well. There are a couple other people who don't come off well in terms of what they think they're doing in Africa versus what we as an audience understand them to be doing.
So it's very revealing in the best, in the fullest sense of the word. Yeah, there's a thriller you wanted to tell us about called Whiplash that you noticed was quite a crowd pleaser. I'm always wanting to know what you're laughing about since you saw it and we didn't. So,
this movie is ridiculous, but it's ridiculous in the best possible way. It is basically a movie about a jazz musician, a jazz student, and his psychotic jazz teacher, who's the student's played by Miles Teller, who's becoming a staple at Sundance. And J.K. Simmons plays the teacher, and he's very fit in this movie. He's all cut up. And it basically turns into a thriller about perfection and about the great thing about the movie in some ways is the director's name is Damien Chazelle, who grew up as a musician. He's gone to music school, and this is his second film, and it's about the physical labor that it takes to become a great musician and a great artist, like the physical labor of like perfecting the cymbal taps and the beats on the snare.
Yeah, but it sounds terrible. So the teacher is a crazy person, and
he
so
is a crazy
terrible.
Person.
So what did you like about it?
The thing that we all love about thrillers, which is to be put in suspense and to have your adrenaline go up in 90 minutes. It is so well made and so effectively acted. And that you almost don't even care about the fact that it's a jazz movie about two white guys in which lots of black guys sit around and be like, well, I guess that kid's got it going on. Okay.
Good point. We only have like 20 seconds left. But you're saying Sundance is not like the little indie outsider thing anymore. You're saying it's big time,
no,
right?
No, I mean, it's changing. It's changing.
For the worse?
That's a good question. I think it's both better and worse. I think you won't find things that cost $20,000 anymore that get major distribution. I mean, everything looks like it cost about almost everything looks like it cost about $20 million. Nothing looks cheap anymore. And part of that is technology, and part of it is the money coming from these independent funding sources, or the aggregation of these independent funding sources. You've got guys who now manage the money to go into these independent films, and it's changing.
All right. Well, thanks so much for bringing us up to date. Wesley Morris, thank you for not changing, Wesley Morris. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning film critic. He's writing now for Grantland. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle.